Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
We are live from Yankee Stadium on this historic Friday in New York sports. And Evan and Tiki on the Road is brought to you by Town Fair Attire. Nobody beats Town Fair Attire. Nobody. So earlier today, BT, our coworker, said he had heard, and I trust him, that there will not be a tribute video for Juan Soto. And my first reaction when I heard him say it was, they gave one to Aaron Hicks.
But he was here for a while.
He was. And that is, I put that in my brain too. Okay, Aaron Hicks was here for parts of 5 or 6 seasons. Mm-hmm. But he's Aaron Hicks. Right. He was not beloved at the end. They DFA'd him. Yankee fans did not want him anymore. So the issue with the tribute video debate is once you open up Pandora's box and you start giving it to everybody like it's a box of chocolates, it starts to create like, well, wait, you gave it to Aaron Hicks. Why not Clay Holmes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you. So are they going to give one to Clay Holmes?
No, BT was going to find out about that, too.
That's the bigger one, actually, because he was here for so much longer.
They're in a spot now, Teak, where they can't. Because if they gave one to Holmes on the night Soto returns, it looks like you're doing it purposeful.
Okay, so but let's talk this out. Why do you give someone a tribute video?
As a thank you.
As a thank you because you appreciated what he did for you while he was with this organization, right?
Yes, yes.
And so what Juan Soto did, I mean, he finished third in the MVP. What was he in the MVP? Third or fourth or something like that. I know he was up there, but he was a great player for the Yankees. In fact, he was one of the reasons they went to the World Series last year. And so as a simple thank you for that, doesn't that season he had suffice? Or because it wasn't enough time, it doesn't?
Well, I think
that's the real question.
Does
one season give you a tribute video if that one season is getting you to the World
Series? Let's be real.
Helping get you to the
World Series. If he had signed with the Rockies, the tribute video is occurring. Mm. It's a Met Yankee thing. Clearly, it's a Met Yankee thing. Am I wrong?
I think it's more complicated than that.
What is it then?
Because if you give him a tribute video, I think the Yankee fan now has to cheer for him.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. The Islanders gave John Tavares a tribute video.
Hockey
we booed the crap out of
Hockey
him.
Hockey is different than baseball.
I Why? Think.
Because it's not as civilized of a sport.
We're a bunch of animals.
That's right.
You allow the fans to do whatever they want. Like, the video being played. Like, for example, I want to go back to the Hicks one because I remember we talked about it when it happened.
What happened when it
got booed.
Yeah.
And there was I think, Sean, you and I had the conversation because I was like,
for some reason, I don't remember it.
I think the idea, though, behind the Aaron Hicks one was more, I think the Yankees felt bad about the way it ended because it was kind of sour. And I think that's also another reason to give it. Like, okay, we kind of hate how this all ended here and got messy, but we do thank you for your time. But the only question I have, Evan, is, and I brought this up on the show, are we sure they're not giving Juan Soto a tribute video at some point this weekend and just avoiding tonight? Like, how specific was BT with that?
I don't know. Ask him. Ask him the question. I don't know.
And I only say that, and this is obviously very, this is a little more sad and grim, but when Milwaukee was in town to open the season, the Yankees gave the late Bob Uecker tribute on the Sunday on the way out the door.
That's right.
Where they just, they had a lot of stuff going on opening day, the second game. And I wonder tonight, the Yankees know the vitriol, all that stuff with Soto. Maybe that's something they wait for Sunday to do.
Yeah. I normally wouldn't go crazy either way. I think it just looks bad because of Aaron Hicks. I'm sorry. Like, that's what I think about. In my brain, I'm like, wait a second. You gave one to Aaron Hicks. Now you're not giving one to Juan Soto, who led you to World Series? That's what makes it look bad to me.
I mean, it does, but at the same time, Aaron Hicks was, like, you loved the thought of Aaron Hicks early. And then at the, I mean, it was the last 2 years at least. It was just like, get out. We don't want you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make sense that you would give him a tribute video, because what did he actually do? You know what I mean? Whereas Juan Soto did a ton.
I actually think it's ridiculous if you don't give Clay Holmes one. No, but he's a multiple-time All-Star as a Yankee.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying, if you're punishing Clay Holmes because he's on the same team as Soto, that's flat-out wrong.
It's not that you're punishing Clay Holmes. It's that if you tribute Clay Holmes tonight, I'm not arguing he isn't worth it. If you tribute him and you don't tribute Soto, you look petty. Yeah. And maybe but some just, Yankee just, fans will like that. Okay. I don't know. They'll say, great, good, I'm glad you're petty. But it will look petty.
Petty, the Mets are running a mascot race where the Bronx has not won yet.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to give Clay Holmes a tribute video tonight.
By the way, did they do one for Seve last year?
Well, remember, they ducked having Seve pitch. So
nobody was still here.
I know. I know.
I mean, Clay Holmes isn't pitching.
It's actually a great question. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's how little we care about it.
That means they didn't.
Yeah. Right. Well, or they did, and
we
just
forgot about it.
We forgot about it. Like, some tribute videos, because I know this with the Mets over the years, you're like, really? You're giving this guy a video? There was one recently, and I'm trying to remember who the player was, but the Mets gave a tribute video to just some rando who was here for 5 minutes, and it was like, really? That's how far we're going here?
It was the lefty pitcher. Was it Vargas? Or there was a lefty...
Vargas?
Not Vargas.
Jason Vargas?
Yeah, well, it was like...
Who threatened to, like, kidnap a reporter?
No, there was a... We just recently had a lefty pitcher that was not very good, and they gave him a tribute video, like, a year ago.
That's so descriptive.
Well, I mean, I figured that would unlock your brain, Evan, by giving you a couple of clues.
We've had a lot of lefty pitchers.
But it was within the last year or two. I will look it up now.
And the ones that weren't very good, Evan's not remembering.
I try to forget them. Let's go to Danny, who's calling from Nyack. How are you, Danny?
What's up, Danny?
What's going on? Before I get started, it's just a great day to be a New York sports fan. We got the Mets, we got the Yankees, the Knicks. But I do want to, I called Evan out on his fandom. I did accuse him of being a Knicks fan. That was bad juju. I shouldn't have done that. My bad.
Hurt my feelings. You set me off when you did that.
I didn't realize how triggering that was going to be. My bad. It's my birthday today, so I know some good things are coming.
Happy birthday, bro. Happy birthday, Danny.
Thank you. So to my point, I don't think the Yankee fans should be mad at Juan Soto. The guy was up front. He told you. He didn't lead you on. He didn't say he was going to stay with the Yankees forever, and you can't be mad. Let me put the money. What can you do? I would do the same thing. So would you. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. But.
Right. That's how I feel. That's exactly my argument. Is that every person who is thinking they're going to boo Juan Soto would do exactly what Juan Soto did. Take the most money to go to a place that he believes that he can win a championship with. And more importantly, maybe become the identity of that organization. That was never going to happen with the Yankees.
Nailed it, exactly. And that leads me to my propositions for Evan and then the two Yankee fans in the building. So, Evan, would you take a Mets World Series win, but that means the Knicks win the championship, or both make it to the championships and they both lose?
No, you know what, Danny? Here's the bottom line. As much as I am vindictive and evil when it comes to the Knicks
taking a win,
I need to see a Met World Championship before I'm dead. And not only do I need to see it, I want to see it with my dad while he's here. I want to see it with my sons while they're here. And this would apply to any of the teams I root for.
No. You want to see it with your sons while you're here.
Yes. While I'm here. Is that what I said?
No.
Yes. I want to see it with my entire family.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Thank you. What the hell are you talking
about?
Did
I phrase it incorrectly?
Yes. Horribly.
Thank you. I want to see a title with my family, with my dad, with my sons,
while you're all here.
While we're all here. And I'd say that about any of the teams I root for, but unfortunately, where I am as a sports fan, the Mets are the only team, and it's not even close, who at least have a chance. Because unfortunately, the Jets, the Islanders, and the Nets are far, far away.
Well, you never know with hockey.
You never know.
You just have a season.
First, you need to hire a general manager. But...
Have they not done that yet?
They still have not done that, but they got the number one pick.
Number one pick. Don't know who's making it.
So, yes, as much as a Knick title would pain me, of course I would sign for that.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
And Beningo's always said this in the past, though I brought it up to him recently and he clearly forgot it because he was confused when I said it. But you always used to tell me, you know what, bro? When they come, they're going to come in bunches. I'm just going to tell you, they're going to come in bunches. So I respect that there are a lot of Nick Met fans, Tommy being one of them. If the Knicks win a title and coming in bunches truly happens, that means the Mets are winning a championship.
Evan, another reason you should sign for that, how great is it to wipe away all the Knicks fans on cloud nine and go, now it's the Mets' time. Like, they don't get
that's
the
a good
full,
point. They don't get a full year of celebrating.
We're just sitting here thinking about how long it's been. The Knicks win, everybody's going to love it. The moment if the Mets won in October, the entire focus of the city goes, the Mets are freaking champions, and you forget the Knicks are champions.
Yeah, and, your focus will be on Jameis Winston.
Let's hope not.
Stop it.
Let's hope not.
Let's go to Rob calling from Ponte Vedra, Florida. That sounds really fancy. What's up, Rob?
Hey, it's just outside of Jacksonville. It's not that fancy.
Forget it. I take it all back.
Hey, guys. Great listening to you. I have a hypothetical for Morash, but before I do, I think the better comp to Soto is not Mike Hampton. It's more of John Olerud, who was with the Mets for 3 years, who left right before we went to the Subway Series in 2000. So I'll let Evan respond to that. But before I do, Morash.
Yes.
Yes.
Hypothetical. Would you rather have the Yankees sweep and Soto hit 4 home runs and 12 RBIs, or the Mets sweep and Soto go 0 for 13?
What kind of question is that? I want the Yankees to sweep.
Yeah.
It's even better if Soto rakes and the Yankees beat them in every game.
It's a great question, and I thought about it this morning, and then I heard, and this really angered me, respectful anger, but then I heard my dear friend Sal Licata. And Sal Licata, without getting uber specific, said, I'd rather have Juan Soto have a monster series than the Mets win. And I'm thinking to myself, are you high, bro? Like, what planet are we on where we are now bigger fans of an individual player than the actual team?
It's because it allows you to win the argument.
What argument do you win if you lose?
We won the Juan Soto thing. Well, who knows? It just makes you it allows you to win the argument about Juan Soto.
I think it's a silly argument to win if that's what you're going for. Look, I sat there last year, and this is why I care about tonight and why I'm sitting there and I can't wait to stare at Evan in the ninth inning tonight and why I'm coming back Sunday to stare at Evan in the ninth inning again last night.
Yes.
All right, Sunday night. Last year, all four games, or at least we're at three of the four, I had to sit there as the Yankees lose all of these games and get waved at by every Met fan and all of that. I don't care what Juan Soto does tonight. I want to win. It does matter to me as a Yankee fan because of what I sat through last year.
That's right.
So I won all three wins. Let Soto hit a million
David Peterson walking the bases loaded in the first inning and then getting out of it.
I don't care if Soto has 15 grand slams. If the Yankees win these games, that's all I care about.
By hoping Soto has a great series, you're just winning an argument.
Yes.
That's all that is.
No, and Sean, put your hand out. I want to shake your hand. We're on the same page.
Okay, good.
Tommy, be careful. But be honest. Be careful, but be honest, because I always want you to be honest, except when you tell the world that I have a small, you know, whatever, and other inappropriate things you said about me. But he did apologize.
I never mentioned size. I just said that you are one.
Okay. Yes. I'm giving you a choice. The New York Mets sweep the New York Yankees. Soto's 0 for 12, okay? Or Soto goes 7 for 12, hits 3 home runs, and maybe it's the Met pitching, or maybe no one else hits. Mm-hmm. The Mets get swept. Your choice. Mets sweep, 0 for 12. Mets get swept, 7 for 12. Let's throw in another home run, 4 home runs. What do you take?
Easy answer, Mets sweep.
Thank you.
Didn't even have to think about
that
one.
Thank you very much. Okay. And I think that's easy, too. That's why when Sal hesitated or didn't even hesitate, said, no, Soto's more important, I cringed. I mean, I believe he really believes that. I just think it's lunacy.
Yeah.
The team is more important than the player. And I remember I got mad at you, Tommy, a month ago because I brought up a similar hypothetical.
Not really, though. It really is not a similar.
What was the hypothetical?
Evan asked me, would I rather have the Mets win 100, and, let's say 10 games, and Soto has a so-so year, or the, and then we're going to obviously
by
make
the way,
playoffs.
That's on the track that they're on right now.
No doubt, and I'm pumped up. I'm very excited for it. Or the Mets win, let's say, like 90 games, Soto wins the MVP, and in both scenarios, the Mets would make the playoffs. And I picked Soto having the big year, Mets make the playoffs, because you get the best of both worlds. I do understand where Sal is coming from, not just from winning an argument, but the Yankee stuff with the Soto, the seven stages of Soto grief. As a Met fan, this is fun. I mean, I've spent 40 years, I've never been able to win an argument in the bar, and now I can.
I think the ultimate argument, Teak, is winning.
That's the only thing that matters.
That's it.
And no matter what happens, the Yankees still have the best player.
And add one more, because I know what the trash talk has been here with Met fans at me and everything. If I have to hear one more time, coming from Evan or any other Met fan, how poor the American League is, and that's why the Yankees are great. That's what else a Yankee sweep does this weekend.
I respect right. that. It doesn't prove anything, but
yeah,
I totally
the American
get
League
that.
Stinks. We swept you guys.
No, no. It's one of those arguments that's so, if you actually want to be intellectual about it, is stupid, but I totally get using that as meat the next time it's ever brought up. Well, I think that I understand.
It's the, one of the best teams in the National League versus one of the best teams in the American League.
Right.
Who wins?
Right, right.
That's what this series is about. So all the statistics with Soto and Judge, whoever else you want to throw into this conversation, the only thing that matters is winning.
No, absolutely. That's the most important thing. Now, in defense of Sal Licata, coming up at about 5:06 today in his normal spot, we will play the game, "Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?" And Sal has agreed it will be live today. I will call him on my cell phone and ask him. But there'll be a second question. Actually, it's not going to be a question. There'll be a second comment. And the comment's going to be, "Sal, I love you. You're an idiot." And then he'll have a chance to respond. And
take it anymore.
Win an argument. I mean, what planet are we on? We need to win an argument. Let's go to, boy, so many great options. Okay, this is interesting. Paul is calling from Newark, New Jersey. Paul, how are you?
How are you guys doing, Evan and Tiki?
We're good,
man. I got a Nick comment and a Met comment. I'm a Met fan all my life. But the Knicks, I think they're backs against the wall. I know it's game six, but this is their game seven. And last time, game seven with the Pistons, Jalen dropped 40 points. He's going to drop 40 tonight. With the Mets, Soto's got his short right field porch back. He's going to crush at least two homers. My only concern is McGill's pitching, and he's a long reliever. He's great for four innings. He blows up in the fifth. I think he got to the sixth inning once. So I think the Yankees are going to take two out of three here. The Mets will take two out of three at Citi Field, and we'll split the series, even though we swept you guys last year four games.
All right.
What do you think?
The first point. Let's get to the first point. I understand looking at tonight's game at Madison Square Garden and having the attitude, boy, we better win this game. This is our game seven. We can't go back to Boston. I told Tiki how nervous everyone will be Monday. All that's true. But I got to lecture everybody. I got to do this. How much basketball have we seen over the last few years before you realize that home court advantage is dead?
Right. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And I have great respect for my dear friends up in Boston, because being in the building for that game five, Tommy will admit it, they got loud. Mm-hmm. They did a great job, right, Tommy?
They were very loud.
Very loud. And even in that moment, he caught me. I give him credit, because I said, oh boy, you don't want to come back here. You can't win that game. And Tommy gave me the, come on, Evan, you're better than that. And he's right. He got me out of the trance immediately. So while I understand the importance of closing it out, of getting it over with, of being ready for the Indiana series, of not dancing with the potential devil of a game seven, do not think for a second that this Knicks team isn't capable of winning a game seven in Boston. They are.
They're capable of winning six. They're capable of winning seven. The challenge is not where they're playing. The challenge is how they play and what they do. Right? All the things that the Knicks did in game four that allowed them to finally have a game that they kept close for most of it and ultimately win, I don't want to say handily, but what? You know, we know the game was over with over 2 minutes to go. They didn't do that in game five. They stopped switching. They had gave way too many open looks to guys they think weren't going to knock down shots. Like, all of a sudden, Jason Tatum is out of this game that the Celtics are not going to shoot 43-pointers. And guess what? They shot 40-something three-pointers.
No, I got you.
And those guys are still capable of knocking them down. And so, to me, this isn't about where it's at. It's about what Tibbs instructs them to do, especially defensively.
Yeah, I completely agree, but what this series has shown us is that each game is a different story.
100%.
So what we saw in the previous game and all the concerns from that game were far different than what we saw in the game before that.
I agree, but this is where coaching matters. This is why when we made our levels of blame yesterday, I put Tibbs at the top, mm-hmm. because every one of these games, you've had to have won differently, right? Even though the first two feels very similar in these massive comebacks, they've all been different. Every game is different. And when every game is different because you're coaching against a Joe Mazzullo who is, I don't know, he's just, you can tell he's above it, right? He's above the X's and O's of basketball IQ. You have to be able to combat that. And Tibbs didn't do that in game five.
I just think this Knicks team has shown you an ability to lose a game at home and then respond
right.
with a huge win on the road. We saw it against Philly last year in the first round. We saw it against Detroit.
I agree, but I'm
last
just
year,
but what I'm saying. Year. What I'm saying is where they're playing doesn't matter.
No, but that's my point. Like, I get everything you're saying about Thibodeau and what needs to be better and what needs to be different, but I don't want to hear this garbage about if they lose tonight, the series is over.
No.
It's freaking ridiculous.
I think if they lose tonight, people think the series is over because in a one-game, like, battle.
Anything can happen.
Well, no. You give the advantage to the Celtics.
What's right? the advantage to the Celtics?
Because they're the better team.
Because they're on, well, are they the better team without Jason Tatum?
They were in game five.
That's one game.
Okay, but Luke Kornet all of a sudden is an all-star?
Luke Kornet's going to block seven shots again?
Because
Jalen Brunson's going to foul out in the third quarter
because
again?
Because Josh Hart plays too many damn minutes, and Kornet on Josh Hart is a gross mismatch?
But just because that happened doesn't mean it's going to happen again. The same thing with Brunson's foul issues in the third quarter of game five. I'm merely saying it's a different book. Every game.
I know that.
So I can't look at tonight the way some Knicks fans are, and I don't think you are, so we're not arguing that point.
No.
That if they lose tonight, it's over. That's BS.
We're arguing that in a one-game match, it's like football.
Yeah.
You get one game. Who's winning?
It's risky, and you don't want to put yourself in that risky coin flip kind of situation. But my point is, they can't win a game seven. I don't want to hear it because I've heard a lot already today from Knicks fans. Like, this is our game seven. It's not your game seven. Your game six.
If the thought is the Knicks can't win a game seven, it's not because it's on the road. Because if they were home, they could still lose a game seven.
It would be because they've lost back-to-back games without Jason Tatum on the floor.
Because they've trailed 85% of the minutes of this series.
That is true.
That's including without Jason Tatum.
Now, there is a story going into tonight's game that would cause me some concern if I'm a Knicks fan around Jason Tatum. We'll get to that coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. The manager of the New York Mets will also join us in about the next 15 or 20 minutes, so we'll have a nice conversation with Carlos Mendoza that will begin and end with me reminding him that he's crazy if he wants to face Aaron Judge, that is a terrible, terrible idea.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
At Yankee Stadium on this eventful day in New York sports. Mets Yankees Subway Series Game 1. Juan Soto makes his return to Yankee Stadium as a villain. And, of course, Game 6 tonight at Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Celtics. There is something I read this morning that would give me a little bit of concern if I am a New York Knicks fan. And that is the fact that Jason Tatum, who elected to have his Achilles surgery here in New York right away, did not wait.
Which is rare.
Yeah.
Most times when you have major injuries like that, whether it's ACL or Achilles, you wait a few weeks because you have to build up all the muscle around it because you're going to be incapacitated for a while.
Right.
But it's surprising. He got it done the next day.
I wonder.
Maybe that night. I don't know.
It was literally, I think, the next day.
Right.
He did not waste any time. So Jason Tatum is here in New York. He posted a picture recently of coming out post-surgery with the big cast all over his leg. Well, Jason Tatum in New York greeted the team at the team hotel prior to them arriving.
Is that supposed to scare the Knicks?
I don't know. You tell me as the athlete. Like, would that fire you guys up?
Win one for the Gipper type
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I guess maybe not. I mean, it depends on how vocal he is as, you know, normally. Like, if he's the guy that's getting everybody, I don't know, jazzed up for whatever, he gives the motivational speech, then maybe that helps. But I don't know. Does he seem like that kind of guy? To me, he doesn't. He's more of a, I'm just going to go ball type of thing.
Yeah, he doesn't seem that, but maybe that's what makes it more powerful, especially
right.
if, and I don't know, it hasn't been revealed how he addressed the guys, whether it was very casual, like one-on-one, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm feeling better. Or if they were all grouped around him. This is the way I envision it. They're all grouped around him. Derek White gives him a bottle of water because he's parched. And Jason Tatum, with sweat over his eyes, says, guys, you know, he's got a raspy voice. He's been screaming because the surgery hurt. They probably put him to sleep.
You are so dramatizing this.
I am.
You're making this into a movie.
Well, yes. Well, when I hear Tatum greeted the team before game six, that's what you think. But I would think it inspires the guys. But look, I've been so wrong about this series in a lot of ways because I thought the human nature of losing their brother and their best player was going to be too much to overcome in Game 5, and they overcame it.
Right. I mean, for the first half of that Game 5, it felt like the Knicks finally had their advantage, right? It was, instead of being down double digits going into halftime or being down 20 in the third quarter, you know, they ultimately did. It was tied. And so you felt like the Knicks are actually playing a better version of themselves. And then once it got into that third quarter, it was chaos from a Knicks standpoint. And just the Boston Celtics ran away. And it was surprising because Jason Tatum was not available.
Could you imagine a scenario where Jason Tatum rolls into Madison Square Garden because he probably needs a wheelchair at this point or a scooter?
Stop.
And he's sitting there.
They wouldn't let him.
And the Garden, you know, puts him on the screen.
The Garden security people shouldn't let him.
They wouldn't let him in.
Do not let that happen.
Why? That would be too inspirational?
Yes. That would be movie-ish.
What would Knicks fans do if they put him on the screen? Like, oh, there's Jason. They boo him.
Of course they
can't boo him.
They would boo him because he's coming to inspire his team.
He's got a torn Achilles. He just had surgery. You wouldn't give him a respectful, hey, good to see you out of surgery, bro.
No, because then it gets reported as, I don't know, the Boston fans taking over the Garden.
Nah.
And they're cheering Jason Tatum's return. It's uplifting.
Speaking
and
of Boston fans, they're not taking over Madison Square. I don't even think there'll be more than like 2% of Celtic fans at Madison Square Garden tonight. When you combine the prices, which are still incredibly high, like the get-in isn't as high as it was for Game 3, but the get-in at the Garden tonight is still like $800, $900.
Wow.
But when you combine the get-in price and the fact that they're trailing in the series and they're without their best player, the Celtic fan ain't making the trip.
Yeah, on a Friday.
Not happening.
Bad weather.
Yes.
No, you're right.
Not happening. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Carlos Mendoza, manager of the Mets, will join us in just a few minutes. Anthony is calling from the Bronx. How are you today, Anthony?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're good.
I just want to make some comments as a lifelong Yankee fan. I see the Juan Soto thing differently. As a player, I just look at his numbers. Averaged 26 home runs and 79 RBIs for his career thus far. When I see guys, and he brought us to the World Series, for me, that don't do nothing. Because I've seen 7 World Series victories, 2 with Munson and Jackson, and 5 with Jeter and the boys.
Right.
So just bringing us to, for me as a Yankee fan, just bringing us to a World Series does nothing to us, does nothing to me.
That's
guys like Tino Martinez and Paul O'Neill and Reggie Jackson and Catfish Hunter, those guys came to the big city and actually helped us win a World Series. So I'm not jealous that that Juan Soto went to the Mets and stuff like that because, you know, we did a good job in replacing him
right.
with a number of different players.
Anthony, you're also not angry, are you?
No way.
Exactly.
I'm not angry
at
Soto.
That's my point. It is not that you should be mad. Just be indifferent.
Well, I want to be fair because I want to answer this as what I would do. And I think about the scenarios mm-hmm. I've had where I had to make decisions between booing a guy, cheering a guy, and what they've done for me.
Yeah.
And if a guy leaves, especially if it's recent, like it's a recent leave, I'm likely going to boo you. And that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what you did or understand why you did it, but I'm probably going to boo you. You got on me, and it wasn't that long ago, a few months ago, when I was booing Mikal Bridges every time he touched the ball in Brooklyn.
Right.
And he did far less for me than Soto did for the Yankees.
Yeah, but my point with Mikal Bridges for you back then was, as a Net fan, was why did you care? He didn't. He was barely with you.
You're, and that's where it eventually got. So to your point, T, today, I'm in that place. Hmm. But I think when there is still a recency
so
to
ultimately,
it,
I was right. So all you yes. Yankee fans that are going to boo Juan Soto in a year or two, you're going to be like, why did I even boo him?
Yeah, I think you're going to almost.
Why did I even care?
I don't want to say you're going to forget he was a Yankee because he did contribute to getting to a World Series,
yes.
Which doesn't happen all the time. Like, even the Yankees' illustrious history had been a drought between World Series appearances, mm-hmm. 15 years. So I don't think it'll ever be you forgot he's a Yankee, but it will move towards indifference the way it has with me for a lot of guys.
You know what this?
And sometimes, by the way, one last thing, Teak, it turns into appreciation.
I got the perfect analogy.
Go ahead.
Perfect analogy.
Go ahead.
And most men will never admit this. You know, sometimes you just get used, and it's like, man. And then she leaves, and you're like, God, why'd she leave? I'm just so mad. But after a while, you're like, you know what? That was just good. I don't mind being used.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
That's a great analogy.
So why, if you see her again, you're going to boo her? Or are you going to be like, what's up?
Hold on.
I'm just telling you.
No, it's a great analogy. I want to go deeper on this. If it's only been 8 months or 7 months, yeah, there's a chance
you're
pissed
you
off.
You moved on. You got a new girlfriend.
I don't think
she might not be as hot. Trent Grisham is not as hot, but damn, effective.
I think long term you're right. I do. I think long term eventually
I'm being the rational Yankee fan. I'm just putting in a mindset you can understand.
But I also think there also could come a time. Because this happened to me full circle with another athlete where now I cheer the guy when he comes back, and at first I boot him, like Kevin Durant. At first I booed him, and then I realized, like, yeah, this was a failure, but he did pick me. I appreciated it.
And
he actually liked being here.
It wasn't wholly his fault, et cetera, et cetera.
So there
are. He probably regretted demanding being traded.
Right, probably so. So I think there are patterns where you go from one area to another. So I would tonight, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'd likely boo him.
Not boo him.
I would boo him.
Not boo him.
I would boo him.
Oh, I'm hearing you wrong. Not boo him.
What do you think I'm saying? I would boo him tonight, and I can see myself a year from now either going indifferent or appreciating.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what? Guy helped me get to a World Series.
Right. I think I'm just there quicker.
Yeah, you've moved in the cycle quicker, but I do think there's a cycle when it comes to players like this, where at first you're pissed, and then it moves into either indifference or an appreciation. Because getting to a World Series is a big deal. And I know for some Yankee fans, it's not because they've been to so many.
Yeah.
But he was the catalyst on this team getting to a World Series.
And it had been a while.
Absolutely. Let's go to JR in Somerville. How are you, JR?
What up, JR?
What's going on, guys?
All's good.
What's up?
This has to be the most comfortable, the highest paid athlete in New York has ever been going into a game. Okay, now, part of this is the fact that we have, I'm talking about Carly T. Towns, by the way.
Oh, I know who you meant. Yes, we're aware. Go ahead.
You've been giving him a pass, okay?
Stop.
All right?
Stop.
Evan Aloysius, Manfred Goodell, Robinson.
We killed him! We ripped him! He was my number one blame target for Game 5. We're giving him a pass. My ass.
This should be battery in your back radio today. I am tired of seeing Drew Holiday guard this guy, and you guys don't even talk. Like, it's not Thibodeau's fault. But listen, he's got to call for the ball and ask for it, okay? And the thing about tonight's game is that the Knicks lose this game, and say they lose Game 7, the only game in 20 years tonight that people are going to remember are going to be tonight's game, Game 6 in the Garden, okay?
Yes.
The other thing is the whole Wingstop thing. Listen, get out there on Derek White. I'm tired of seeing this guy catch and shoot. You know, I don't think that the fire has been hot enough for these guys, all right? So,
no, you're right.
You know, get it together.
Too many open looks, especially for Derek White, because he's gonna launch him.
All right. Let's give JR what he wants, because
this is a cat attack.
It's a cat attack. After Game 5, And there were many reasons why the Knicks blew that opportunity. There's a laundry list. We had a nice debate yesterday on the program in which all of us picked our main culprit.
Right.
And when you lose the way you do, everyone is a culprit. But yes, Karl Anthony Towns played stupid, soft basketball. It's all true. And it's got to change. Do I think it's going to change? I got no idea. I'm done guessing anymore. I don't know if it's going to change, but I know it needs to change. And I don't think it's ever going to be Karl Anthony Towns demanding the basketball as much as I suggested that a few weeks ago to Teak, and it was, well, Tom Thibodeau has him standing right in the corner.
But their offense doesn't work that way. So it just I know what JR is saying. He's right.
You got to take advantage of the matchups.
I'm sure he would love to stand in the post and demand the ball and say, whoever's guarding me, whoever, even Porzingis, Cornette, it doesn't matter. Give me the ball, I'm going to dominate down here. But that's not how their offense works.
Well, but here's the other thing, though. And let's see if we could all agree on this. If Karl Anthony Towns is playing dumb basketball again, if Karl Anthony Towns is playing soft basketball again, if Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing aggressive basketball again, then may I ask why he's on the floor?
Sit him down. Put Mitch in.
You have Mitchell Robinson, right, who in game five was the best player on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I know he didn't play enough, and he's not a dynamic offensive player, but between fixing his free throw issues, which at least he did for one night, and that's not getting enough attention. Because I wonder if Joe Mazzulla whips out that card again today, or if he says, I don't know, he went 6-for-6 from the line.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Hakimich becomes less viable simply because they don't have, I mean, they lose Jason Tatum. Cornette now is not a foul giver,
right?
You got to utilize him in some capacity as a scorer, but also as a defender. Like, you need him out there. And who knows? Maybe Mitch did figure it out.
Maybe.
At the line.
Maybe.
6-for-6 is no joke.
So hopefully that makes everybody happy. We've attacked Karl Anthony Towns. We've called him out. We've questioned him. To me, he was the biggest culprit from Game 5. And if they're going to finish the job tonight, if they're going to seal the deal tonight, he's one of the guys that has to.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
To come through. Now, while he's trying to come through, the New York Mets are trying to win another series. That's what this is about. And joining us right now is the manager of the New York Mets. Good to see you, Carlos. Carlos Mendoza, who joins us live from Yankee Stadium as the Mets get set to open up this 3-game series against the Yankees. So, Mendy, it's been the question all day. Are you going to boo Juan Soto when he's announced today?
I probably will. You know how he works here. You know, I was in the Yankees dugout for a lot of years, and especially with players from the Houston Astros team came on 2022, and I feel like the louder the boos get,
yes,
they raise, you know, not that they need that, you know.
The Altuve stuff, right?
Oh, Altuve, Correa, and Bregman, and, you know, at one point I was telling Boone, I was like, I wish they'd stop wooing these guys. So hopefully that's the case here, you know.
Be indifferent.
One doesn't need that.
Be,
you know,
indifferent. I'm telling the Yankee fan to be indifferent. It's worse when it's quiet than when someone
Yankee fan.
Yeah. I mean,
Mendy's right. Disgusted by you taking.
Oh, why are you disgusted by me?
Jesus,
I didn't
Christ.
Meet any of the Mets. CC became a good buddy of mine. I met those guys, and so I became a Yankee fan,
though
I'm a Virginian.
That's all right.
Can you?
I'll give you a pass.
Thank you. I have one question we need to ask.
Oh yeah, you're right. I wasn't even going
to
start.
It's the first one you have to ask.
Yes.
Kevin.
You want to do it?
I'll let you do it because I did it with Boone.
Listen, Mendy, you know I love you. All right. You know I'm a fan, even if I criticize half the moves you make. It's part of the business.
That's all right.
You got to do me a favor tonight. And I've been screaming this on the radio for 2 days. Don't give Aaron Judge a pitch to hit. Don't even face him. Dare Cody Bellinger. Dare Paul Goldschmidt, who I respect. I respect those guys. They're scoring 5.9 runs per game. I get it. How do you face Aaron Judge tonight with how locked in he
well,
is?
Evan, I'm not going to sit here and give you the strategy, you know?
Wink at me. You're going to take care of it, you know what I mean?
We'll see. We'll let the game unfold, and you know, I'll make some decisions there. So.
I got you.
I've seen Judge play a lot.
Have you ever seen him this locked in?
Oh, man.
This is insane.
It is, you know, but I'm not surprised by it. You know, I had a front row seat when he hit 62.
Right.
And watching him... What he's doing right now, he's hitting over 400, and it's just unbelievable. But I'm not surprised by it.
So here's what's going to happen. And you could ignore me. You have every right to. I'm sitting, like, very bougie seats tonight. I'm going to be to your left, okay?
Okay.
When Judge gets up.
So you'll be my bench coach?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. I will stand up, and we'll have a code. And all I'm going to scream is, welcome, at the top of my lungs. If you don't hear it, that means attack.
Okay.
If you hear the welcome, you know.
All right.
Let's take care of business.
Remember when we had you at the beginning of the season, and he had a suggestion for, I forget what it was.
Pete Alonso,
and you were like, no.
Yeah, I shut that down.
Keep shut him down.
That was a good decision, by the way. Right. I was testing you to see if you realized that was not the right way to go.
But you went off on me for a couple weeks?
Not about that.
No,
it was.
Okay.
I think it was like, I'm trying to remember what I was mad about. I think you didn't play Acuna once, and I was like, what are we doing here? Other than that, I
need to play nine. You know, I can play 13 of them.
That is the challenge right now.
So
how do you decide that?
That was the question. How do you decide? I mean, you have a tough decision almost every night.
Yeah, I think that's a good problem to have. You know, as a manager, you know, when you got 13 guys that you feel good about your chances, it doesn't matter who's in the lineup. That's a good problem. And my job is to keep everyone sharp, fresh, trying to create what we consider the best matchup. I feel like every day there's good matches for everyone, you know, but just try to put guys in position where we feel they're going to have success, and, you know, we'll go from there.
I think we asked you this last year. Is that gut or is that analytics?
A little bit of both. You got to have both, you know. I use all the information. I got to use my instincts as well, like the feeling for people, feeling for that locker room, man. Like,
right.
It's important, you know. Like, it's not just the numbers. Yes, everybody has numbers. Everybody's going to go through it and all that, but you got to have a good pulse of, you know, that locker room. Well, and I feel like not only myself, but our coaching staff, and I think we got a good thing going on, and the relationship between the players, coaches, is what it needs to be.
Now, Evan and I were talking about this a couple of days ago. You gave Soto a day off, something he very rarely takes. A couple years, or last year, he had games off, but it was only because he was battling some injury. Other than that, he usually wants to play 162.
Mm-hmm.
How did you approach that with him? And what was the ultimate reasoning that you gave him a day off ahead of the Subway Series?
I mean, look, it wasn't an easy one. I've been
because of him?
I mean, you never want to take Juan Soto out of the lineup, right? But you're playing the long game here, trying to keep everyone fresh, still early, you know, playing a lot of games. We just got done through a stretch where we played 26 and 27 day, you know, the travel and all that. So I've been asking him, and then the night before I went up to him, and, you know, he was kind of like, well, you're the manager, you know, but... I finally made the decision. He was like, all right, and I went with it. But,
Did playing the Yankees and the emotion of this series or that stolen base where it looked like he was doing some gymnastics after, did those two things at all play into it being the right time to give him an off day?
No, I think it was just – the off day. It got nothing to do with the Yankees. It was just, you know, I felt like it was important for him to, with the off day behind it. He was, you know what, I'll give you two. So that was all.
How do you decide that? Because you got a lot of guys who don't sit. Like Pete Alonso never sits. Francisco Lindor never sits unless his wife is giving birth, and then he'll miss only like one day.
Right.
So what are you looking at, especially with those guys? You've already done it with Juan. You explained your thinking there on deciding how you're going to take that, or why you're going to take that guy out.
Yeah, I think it's just knowing the personalities here. I'm still getting to know Juan. We only been together for 6 weeks or so. You know, forget about spring training. I'm talking about regular season. But being around Pete, this guy, you know, I saw him really, really sick last year, and he with days where it's like, you're not playing. It's like, oh yeah, I'll be ready at 7 o'clock. Let me take a nap. You know,
right.
Lindor same way. But these are ongoing conversations that, you know, I'm having with the players. And, hey, I'm thinking, you know, probably a week from now, you know, we got 12-game stretch here. Like, I'm thinking one of those you're going to be
off. Yeah, one of the White Sox games. Sit them.
You know, so right. I hate to do it at home, you know.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
You know, like, that was hard for me. You know, it's a home game. Fans want to come and watch their superstar. You know, if you do it on the road, okay. But it's hard. But I felt like with Juan again, it was important for him. I was just taking advantage of the
team. What about DH days? I mean, has he had one yet?
One DH. He had one. And,
he didn't like it?
Yeah, he's not a big fan of that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's. But again, that is part of it. You know, it's like it's a half day off, you know, you see. But these guys, that's why they're special. That's why they're elite. They want to be out there. They know how important they are for the team, for the lineup, just their presence. And you got to respect that.
Yeah. You've got to know Met fans over the last year and a half. We are a sick bunch. And there are some Met fans. I'm not one of them, but I think it's important for me to at least ask you this. There are Met fans that view Juan Soto's body language, view his celebrations, and are worried that he's not happy. You're in the room every day. Can you reassure those Met fans that Juan Soto is indeed happy being a New York Met?
Man, he's loving it. You know, like he's super happy. You know, he might not show it there for people, but man, you know, everything that you see in that locker room since the first time, you know, first thing when you walk to the ballpark, you know, and he's there, like he's a smile. He's always interacting with people. Perfect example the other day when I gave him a day off. I'm thinking, okay, he's probably gonna be. I walk in the weight room, and he's, you know, full conversation with our strength and conditioning. And he's getting out there. It's like, dude, I thought he was.
Off day is off day. Yeah, don't do nothing, right?
You know? But he loves it. He gets along really well with everyone in there. I know people like to do whatever they want, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right, you know?
Let him
be Juan Soto at that's the play, play right field and hit homers for the New York Mets.
Mindy, let me ask you about Pete Alonso, who's having an unbelievable start to this season so far. You saw him last year. We could chalk it up to the pressure of being in a contract year, whatever it is. But this year, we talk about Judge being locked in. Pete Alonso is right there, locked in as well. Probably one of the favorites early on for the NL MVP. What have you seen different with him this year?
Yeah, look, I mean, this guy came in on a mission. Not that he wasn't on a mission last year, but it's just a different mindset for some reason. You know, the way he's preparing, the way the at-bats, he was watching film, scouting reports, talking to players, talking to coaches. And you got to give him credit. In the offseason, he needed to work on his mechanics and the hips and this and that, and he put a lot of work on it. And right now, he's seeing results, but he's on a mission, man. He's on a mission, and, you know, the way he's controlling the strike zone, not missing pitches, we know the powers. You know, he's one of the best power hitters in the game, but when he's not chasing, man, he's dangerous.
Right, and, you know, one of the things that we all speculate about is after the season over, he's going to opt out, he's going to – like, we talk about Soto being happy. Soto can be happy because he's got 15 years to be paid a lot of money. Pete Alonso is not necessarily in that state. Where is he as an emotion with this team right now? Do you get a sense of that?
No, same guy that, you know, last year going to his free agent year, he's – saying, you know, wants to win, knows how much he means to this fan base and what it takes to play in New York. And look, I'm hoping that he goes out there and wins an MVP. He's good for the Mets. He's good for Pete Alonso, and we'll see what it takes.
Right. So last year, the OMG Mets, Jose Iglesias, even J.D. Martinez, big part of that locker room. And I remember before the season was starting, I was asking you, how different is this room going to be? Well, here we are. We're a quarter way through the season. You guys have been awesome.
How would you compare last year's locker room to this year's locker room?
Yeah, I mean, every year is different. You got a lot of different personalities, but our core is still in place. You know, the Lindors, the Pete Alonso, the Brandon Nimmo, Sean Manaea was sneak. Mm-hmm. Everybody talk about Iglesias and JD, who were great. You know, part of the reason our turnaround, you know, you got to give credit to Jose, you got to give credit to JD, but, you know, some of the main guys are still here. And every year's different. It'll happen organically. I feel like our locker room is really, really strong. Those guys get along well. But not only they get along, because, you know, like, they don't have to get along. They got to respect each other,
right.
You know, and they got to go out there. They got to prepare. They got to compete. And they got to have fun, you know. And that's what we're doing. You know, it's a healthy group that likes to play for each other. And they're not afraid to call each other out when they have to, you know, and hold people accountable. And that's what it's going to take. We will continue to add people. Guys will come in and out, and it's our job to make those guys welcome when they walk through those doors.
You mentioned Trump and I. What's his status?
Yeah, so he threw a bullpen yesterday. He's scheduled to throw another one here on Sunday. So that's good that he's already on the mound. So hopefully a few more bullpens and then start facing hitters, and then we'll go from there.
What are you seeing from Luis Angel Acuña that makes you – not really want to use him in center field? I know he played a few innings there the other day, but it jumped out at me. I think it was last week. McNeil's played center. Acuña's been at second. Is that more about you like him at second base defensively, or is there something about him in the outfield that clearly I don't see because I haven't seen him play there where that makes you hesitate giving him that crack to play center field?
Yeah, I'm not hesitation at all. Like, I feel really comfortable playing him, whether he's a short, second, or center. Last year, we did it. We prepared him for this potential role. I just like him in the dirt. You know, I like him at second base.
So you playing him at second and McNeil at center is more, you just like him a lot.
I feel like we're better defensively with that alignment.
Okay.
You know, it depends who's pitching, too.
Right.
You know, like, if we have a ground ball pitcher, you know, so I'm comfortable with Jeff at second. I'm comfortable with Luis Angel there, and then Jeff in center. If we got to go that route, after you guys seen it, it's another good problem to have. You know, with not only we got good players, but the versatility that they provide, it makes my in-game move. The other day we saw it. You know, before we know it, we got Brett Beatty at second base, Jeff in right, and then Luis Angel was in center field. So there's a lot of different ways I could go here.
You just mentioned Brett Beatty. Talk about Brett getting his opportunity to come back, because obviously that was a hard decision to send them down, and it just, when we talked about it, it was, where, how's he getting another chance? And obviously it presents itself because this is sport.
That's
and guys get hurt.
Works, right?
It's all sports
people
work.
People start worrying, what are you going to do with this? Before you know it, something happens.
But,
and
but him coming back, his opportunity is now, and he has to prove it. I know it's pressure for a young player like that, but he's handling it well.
Yeah, you got to give him credit. And it was a different conversation when we sent him down the last line. It's like, hey, man, we're sending you down not because you can't play here. Mm-hmm. It's just you're going to have playing time here. So you're going to be back. I know he's telling you this. You're going back to the minor
league. Was he upset about that?
He understood.
Right.
He understood. I get it. And then he's getting another chance here, and, man, he's taking advantage of that opportunity, man. He's showing some really good signs. The power's real.
Right.
So it's always good to see our young players continue to develop and play well at this level.
Early on in the history of the Subway Series, Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre, they managed differently. Like, it was like a playoff game. Do you feel that way about these games, or is it, you got to manage the 162?
No, I mean, look, is the Yankees, yes. The way I manage every game like it's a playoff game. Yes, there's a difference because you're playing 162 and all this and that, but every game's important. Every series important. Yeah, we're playing the Yankees, but our job is to come in here and win a series. So, and that's what we're going to do here.
Now, I know Clay got hit around a little bit his last time out, but the transition to a starter is something I don't think the Yankees even thought about, but it seems to be working well.
I mean,
how is he handling now starting games as opposed to closing them?
Yeah, no, look, man, he's adjusting well. That transition, I think just the changeup for me, you know, seen it with the Yankees. He was a two-pitch guy.
Right.
And it's a high-leverage situation with every time he came in. You know, he gave up a run, maybe the game's over.
Right.
Two runs, the game's over.
So it's easier.
Yeah, so as a starter, you give up two in six innings, that's a great outing. You know, you're giving the team a chance to win a baseball game, and that's what he's doing. I think the way he's preparing, how he's bouncing back after every outing, and the way he's using all of his pitches, man, I'm happy for him.
between him and Griffin Canning and Waskar Brazabon with like a 1-2 ERA. What the heck is going on in that pitching lab?
I know it.
It's like magic.
Look, there's a lot of good things happening. We're attacking hitters. We're playing good defense behind those guys, too. I mean, that goes hand in hand, you know. Catcher's doing a really good job being on the same page. I think as a whole, you know, the run prevention side of things, we're doing a pretty good job of.
Walk Aaron Judge as much as you can tonight. Don't let this guy
beat
us.
Wait for
the signal. Yeah. All right? It's just going to be a loud screeching voice that says, walk him, and you will follow suit. All except right, so that thing.
First inning.
You know what? It depends.
First inning, Grishin makes an out. So one out, nobody on base.
I walk him.
You walk him.
You know what? I know that sounds nuts.
This is why he's not the manager.
But hold on. I'm going to defend my crazy position. I know it sounds nuts, but
it's the first inning.
It is the first inning, but the guy's hitting .417.
So you don't believe in our offense. So you don't think we are able to score one run.
Sometimes I don't believe in their offense. The other night against the Pirates was a little licky. I don't know, man.
Hey, they're big. You see the pitching staff?
The Pirates pitching staff is pretty good. It's actually better than people realize.
It is.
But that game on Wednesday was a little, you know.
All right.
It was a little shady. By the way, one last thing about the offense.
You're like your biggest fan and your biggest critic all in the same sentence.
That's what we are as fans. I mean, it's the same thing. Why do you think, because I think this offense will click. I'm not worried about the offense. But why do you think there's been struggles with runners in scoring position? It's been going on since the beginning of the year, and it kind of has continued for a while. Is it bad luck? Is it a pro? What do you think and what do you attribute to the runners in scoring position struggles?
Well, the way I see it is we're getting a lot of guys on. We're getting a lot of opportunity. So it feels like if we go 3-4-10, it's like, man, just seven times they didn't get the job done. But, you know, I've seen sack flies. I've seen guys putting the ball in play. The other day, Soto, you know, with a slow roller to first base. That goes as an 0-for-1, but he got the RBI. You know, the other day, he hit a ball in St. Louis where the guy robbed
the home run, Victor Scott. Yeah.
So, and then Nim goes out there with the bases loaded. The guy makes a diving play. So, you know.
Some of it is bad luck. Yes.
So, you know, like, I sit here and say, you know what? Keep getting guys on base. Let's keep creating traffic, and we're going to be in a good spot.
It's a long season.
That's right.
Thank you, it's a long season. Get it done, man.
All right, man.
Thank you, Mendy.
All right.
Good to see
Carlos
you.
Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the New York Mets, getting you set for Mets-Yankees. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls on tonight's game, on the Knicks Game 6 as they try to close out the Boston Celtics at Madison Square Garden tonight. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.